and Tommy over here on the one cup question. 10 o'clock and 2 o'clock tomorrow. Thank you very much for coming. Well, look at Mark's proposition chart. I want you to know right off the bat that I believe that the scriptures teach that the long hair is a covering, just like verse 15 teaches. The only thing I object to here is the part he added to verse 15 is the only covering. You'll look at 1 Corinthians 11:15. The Bible says the scriptures teach that long hair is a covering. It's given for a covering. He adds the only. Just like the Baptist add only to the end of faith. The Bible says we're saved by faith, and they add faith only. The Bible says the hair is a covering. Mark adds only. And that's exactly what I believe that the hair is given for, a covering. And evidently Mark does not believe that. He believes it's the only covering. Verse 5 talks about another covering, and I believe that. Mark doesn't. That's the difference between me and Mark. I believe verse 15. He does too. But he doesn't believe verse 5. That's the difference between us. And again, he talked about a lot about in this speech, in his last speech, last night, about the word artificial. And I suppose I should explain my quote predicament here on the circle, Mark, for everybody who doesn't know. When he first asked me the question, he asked me the question written. He said, basically, is the word artificial, that specific word, artificial, in the text? I said, no. Then later, he would change the wording of the question. It got to be that he asked me the question verbally. He says, Pat, is there any verse in the text that teaches an artificial covering? Do you see the difference? That's when I wrote this passage up here. But 1 Corinthians 11, verse 5, no, does not use the word artificial. But it does teach the artificial covering because it shows, the phrase praying or prophesying, shows that it's a temporary covering. And that's exactly what I mean by artificial. That's the only thing I mean. I mean I'm talking about a temporary covering, not the permanent long hair covering. All this is really a waste of time asking me for a passage that has the word artificial in it, because in his very first speech last night, he said the Bible could teach an artificial covering without the word actually being there. He said that in his first speech. So he's just wasting all his time talking about this. Anybody can see that? Why does he waste his time on that when he's already admitted the Bible could teach it without the word being there? Just for example, he agrees the Bible teaches there's an artificial covering in Genesis 38, but the word artificial is not there. He believes that Esther 6 verse 12 teaches that there's an artificial covering there, but the word artificial is not there. So why does he keep asking for that? Don't you think that's a waste of time? Then he went to his next speech, which he didn't do last night. Brent put up 53. Then he said even more. He said, Pat, if you could find a translation that indicated an artificial covering. Well, there are a few translations. You know, I didn't find one that uses the word artificial. But I did find one that uses the word shawl. It is dishonorable for a woman to be shaven or have her hair cropped close. Let her put a shawl down over her head. That's this guy's translation. He asked for a translation. I would say that shawl indicates it's an artificial covering, wouldn't you? You know, I really don't think that's a proper translation of that. I'm talking to Mr. Hutto and other folks who know the Greek better than me. I wouldn't say necessarily that's a good translation. But it is a translation that uses a word that definitely indicates artificial. Then you have all these other translations that translate, Brent, raise it up, that translate the words in here, bareheaded. Translates the word bareheaded. And what does that mean? Well, the word bare means without covering or clothing, naked or nude. So when the Bible teaches a woman ought to be bareheaded, what is it saying? I think we all know. Now, Mark says that the man is not the issue. He started that in the first speech. He said, the man is not the issue, but we want to concentrate on the woman. You know, I'd say that too if I was him. And I'll tell you why. Because he has a problem with verse 4 that talks about the man in the covering. Verse 4 mentions a covering that a man ought not to have when he prays or prophesies. It's obviously the same covering as verses 5, 6, and 7. And if the covering is not artificial in verse 4, you know what that would mean? That means it would be okay for the man to pray with a hat on his head. And that would contradict Mark's position. He didn't believe that. So I'd say that too. I'd say the issue's not the man either. Because he knows if we look at verse 4, that's the same covering. And if it's a hair there and it's only the hair, that means it's okay for a man to pray to God uncovered. I mean, pray with a hat on. Do you believe that? Just ask yourself that. And the second reason the man is important, because Mark in his tract, and I showed this, and I'll bring the quote up on the chart again if need be. But in his tract, he said, basically, I'm paraphrasing, that this phrase in verse 4, praying or prophesying, showed that the covering in verse 4 was a temporary covering, that he didn't have to have it at other times. Now, I want to know why that same reasoning won't apply to verse 5, the very same phrase as in verse 5, praying or prophesying. He said the phrase showed. It was a temporary covering. Therefore, a man could be covered, say, when he worked in the garden. But the very same phrase is in verse 5. Now, why doesn't it prove the same thing? You see, Mark sees that it proves it when he wants it. But when he doesn't want it, he can't see that it proves it. It's the very same phrase. Then Mark went into some of his argumentation for his proposition. The first thing he did is he showed how that from verse 4 and 5, and we'll talk about verse 4 right now, I think he did that first, that it's a shame for a man not to have his head covered when he prays or prophesies. It says it dishonors his head. I would agree that that's saying that it's a shame. Then he turned over to verse 14, and he showed that it's a shame for a man to have long hair. So he said, that proves, since they're both a shame, that proves they're the same thing. I think everybody here can see that doesn't follow. Just because two different things are a shame doesn't mean they're the same thing. Just because it's a sin to hit somebody over the head with a hatchet, and it's also a sin to commit adultery, and it's a shame to do both of those things, doesn't prove they're the same thing. You know, the point of this passage is, if you look at it, the fact that what Mark was saying, it really shows that the covering in verses 4 and 5 is not the same as the hair talked about in verse 5. And I'm going to show you that. Notice in verse 5, at the end of it says, for that is even all one as if she were shaven. You know what Mark said that meant? He said that's saying that the woman is uncovering, that's the same as if she were shaven. No, it didn't say that. It said it's the same as if she were shaven. You know what that means? That actually means when you say this is the same as if, that means they're different. That means that a woman that's uncovered is the same as if she were shaven. Mark said it means it's the same. No, as if means they're different. In other words, if she's uncovered, it's different than being shaven. And that's the whole point. If a woman won't wear a veil, what Paul is saying, she might as well shave her head. It's just as bad. That's what she's saying. I think Mark knows that he's not saying that they're the same, but he said that they were. But they're not. As if doesn't mean the same. It actually means that they're different. Two different things. And we'll see some more about that same kind of concept when we talk about what Vine said. And then verses 5 and 6 do the same thing. It says, for if the woman be not covered, let her also be shorn. Everybody here knows what also means. This again shows that a woman being not covered is different than being shorn. Not the same, but different. It's saying if the woman is not covered, let her also be shorn. That means that not covered for the woman is different from shorn. Not the same. Not the same. What it's saying is, same as in verse 5, that if the woman will not cover her hair with a veil, cover her head with a veil, then that's just as bad as if she sheared off her hair. I don't know if that's the right way of saying it. If she had a shorn head. It's just as bad as. Different, though just as bad. See, it was like I was talking about consistency last night. They admitted and agreed to the fact that shorn and shaven was wrong, and not having long hair was wrong in verse 15. And Paul is using that to try to prove his case. He's saying, you admit and you agree that shorn and shaven is wrong. Now, likewise, you ought to be able to see that the uncovered woman is wrong. Because he says, to be without the veil, to be uncovered, is just as bad as being shorn or shaven, and you admit that is wrong. So he says, as if, showing it's different. He says, also, showing that's different. Brent, put up number 36. Let's look carefully at 1 Corinthians 11, verse 6. Mark is basically trying to say, see, it's saying that the same, that the covering and the hair are the same thing, but which one of the following does it actually teach? It says, if the woman be not covered, let her also be shorn. Does that teach to be covered is the same as having long hair? Okay? Or does it teach that uncovered is different than, but just as bad as shorn or shaven? Look at it again. If the woman be not covered, let her also be shorn. But if it be a shame for a woman to be shorn or shaven, let her be covered. Which one is it teaching? Mark thinks it's teaching this. Be covered is the same as having long hair. But I think you'll see that what it's saying is that to be uncovered is different than shorn or shaven, but just as bad as. That's actually what it precisely teaches. I think everybody can see that. And so from this point alone, you cannot tell what the covering of verse 6 is. Because all it says is that uncovered is different than shorn or shaven. You can't tell what this covering is just upon that point alone. All you know is it's different from those two. You'll have to tell from other considerations, like in verse 5 where it says that she is to have it when she prays and when she prophesies. Number 39, Brent. I think it would be good to explain not only verses 5 and 6, but verse 13 through 15. Now, what I'm going to do to explain this, I found somebody that can explain it in better words than I can. Where I came up with this fellow, if you look in our written discussion here, Mark used parts of this quote from Mr. Alford to try to prove that the long hair was the cover. And I'll show you the quote on a transparency if I need to. But that's what Mark used it for. It's in the book, and I can show you the transparency. He used parts of this quote to try to prove the long hair is the cover. And I want to tell you why, how he did it, just to let you know. Because when you see this quote, you're going to wonder how he could have done that. But I thought I would use this quote just to explain what I believe verses 5 and 6 and also verses 13 through 15 especially are teaching. Notice what Mr. Alford says in commenting on verses 5 and 6. He says, "But if this be acknowledged to be shameful, that is the cutting off of the hair, let the further decency of the additional covering be conceded likewise." That's exactly what I'm saying. Mark thinks this proves his position, but that's saying exactly what I believe. It's the same thing as I presented last night when I had the chart consistency argument. Okay? And notice what this guy is saying about verses 13 through 15, where Paul says, "Judge in yourselves." Let me just read that. "Is it comely that a woman praying to God uncovered? Doth not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him? But if a woman have long hair, it is a glory to her, for her hair is given her for a covering?" How does Mr. Alford explain that? This is something that he brought up, and I just wanted to show it to you. That is, the mere fact of one sex being by nature unveiled, that is, having short hair, the other veiled, that is, having long hair. This plainly declares that man was intended to be uncovered, woman covered. Now notice this. "When therefore we deal with the proprieties of the artificial state," there's actually that word, I didn't know that, "the artificial state of clothing the body, we must be regulated by nature's suggestion. That which she," talking about nature, "has indicated to be left uncovered, we must so leave. That which she has covered when we clothe the body, we must cover likewise." In other words, what Mr. Alford is saying that verses 13 through 15 is teaching is that, look, what does nature teach? Nature gives woman a covering. And that should tell us that in the artificial state, the clothing, we ought to be covered. That's talking about verses 5 and 6. You see that? Now, you brought Alford up in your book to try to prove the long hair was the covering, and I can show you the quotes for what you said. But what does he actually teach? I think he explains verses 13 through 15 a whole lot better than I can. A whole lot better. You see, verse 15 does not prove the long hair is the only covering, as his proposition said. It just says the long hair is a covering. And the whole reason Paul brought it up is he's saying nature gives woman a natural covering that ought to tell you that the woman ought to have that temporary covering, praying or prophesying. One argues for the other. Verses 13 through 15 is a consistency argument, just like verses 5 and 6. It's strange that Mark will admit that verses 5 and 6 is a consistency argument. One argues for the other, but he won't in verses 13 through 15. I wonder why. Then he asked me, and Brent put up number 38. What would Paul have to say for, I guess, for me to believe that the long hair was the covering of verse 5? Well, this chart basically will tell you. Mark thinks that 1 Corinthians 11:6 is saying that if a woman is going to cut her hair at all, even just a little, she may as well cut it short or shave it off. It's just as bad. That's what he thinks is saying. Now, if that's what Paul is saying, why didn't he just say it that way? Why didn't he just say, if a woman's going to cut her hair a little bit, she might as well cut it a lot or cut it all off? He could have just said that. He didn't have any problem with talking about the hair, did he? Mark showed that. He mentioned the long hair in verses 14 and 15 and said a man ought not to have it and the woman ought to have it. Why didn't he just say it? This is what he'd had to say. Why didn't he just say, Mark, if you're going to cut your hair at all, you might as well cut or shave your hair? Why didn't he just say that? He could have, but he didn't. He used a word for covering that's a general word. A general word. Why did he basically say and said, if you're not going to be covered, you might as well cut or shave your hair? If Paul meant hair in verse 6, why didn't he just say so? He didn't have any problem saying hair in verse 15. Paul didn't say hair, and that's why I don't say it. I leave it as it is, covered. As a matter of fact, being repetitive, the phrase praying or prophesying proves the covering of verse 5 is temporary just as much as it proves it in verse 4, Mark. Then he said, every time, quote, uncovered in the Old Testament referring to hair. I don't know if that's true. And I don't have time to look through all the cases to see if it's true. But let's just suppose it's true. I wonder why he didn't talk about covered, why he said uncovered. Why didn't he say, well, every place you find uncovered or covered in the Old Testament? You know why? Because we saw two cases last night where he had the word covered, and he admitted he was talking about the artificial covering. Genesis 38, 14 and 15 uses the English word covered in both verses, and it's the artificial covering. He admits it. And then Esther chapter 6, verse 12, uses the word covered, and he admits that's an artificial covering. You know, he in our book used the Septuagint a lot. That's a Greek translation of the Hebrew Old Testament. Just explain what that is. He used it as proof. And so I prepared for that in case you used it tonight. And I looked up the word, or forms of the word katakalupto in this Greek translation of the Hebrew Old Testament, forms of katakalupto. And I found that that word referred to cloth or garment 84 times in the Old Testament, in the Greek translation of the Old Testament, you had a form of the word katakalupto. It referred to cloth or garment 84 times. Now, by my count, I didn't find a single time that it referred to the hair. There is one that I might question, Isaiah 47:2. It might. We're going to talk about that more in a minute. But maybe one or maybe two at the most, but I believe zero. But 84 times it referred to cloth or garment. And some of those times it was talking about covering the head. Like, for example, in many versions, Esther chapter 6, verse 12, where it says Haman covered his hair, that Hebrew word is translated to a form of katakalupto. But you know, enough with the Septuagint, did you know that a form of the word kalupto is actually in the New Testament, not in 1 Corinthians 11, it refers to a veil that is an artificial covering? Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 13. It's in that chapter basically four times, really, referring to the veil about Moses and all that. One, it has a literal usage, and three times a figurative usage. But all four times, it refers to an artificial covering. One time literal, three times figurative. We don't have to turn to the Septuagint. That's just a translation. We can turn to other places in the New Testament and find forms of the word kalupto. And then he brought up Leviticus 10:6, 21:10. This is one of his cases where the word uncovered refers to hair. There's disagreement on whether or not this verse refers to hair. Brent, number 29. He assumes it refers to the hair, but I can show other people that say that it doesn't. Raise it up, Brent. For example, I looked up this particular dictionary, Brown, Driver, Briggs, never how you pronounce the word. This is Strong 6544. He says in Leviticus 10:6, 21:10 that this word means to unbind the head by removing a turban, a sign of mourning. Well, I'd say there's a definition that talks about artificial covering, wouldn't you? A turban. Mark says Leviticus 10 and 21 refer to the hair. Well, this definition says it refers to a turban. But you know what? It wouldn't make any difference if it did. It wouldn't, would it? Because we all know that covered can refer to the hair. It does so in 1 Corinthians 11:15. Mark, why didn't you just turn to 1 Corinthians 11:15 and show us that the word covered can refer to the long hair? You don't have to turn to the Old Testament. It's right there in 1 Corinthians 11:15. That's how far you have to turn. It's right there in the New Testament. I admit that the hair can cover. The problem is the long hair won't fit in 1 Corinthians 11:5, as I showed last night. And hopefully I'll get to that later in my speech. Isaiah 47:2. Mark read a definition for Isaiah 47:2 from Genesius. But he left off the end of the definition. He said we talked about the hair and all that. But then at the end of the definition, it says, of the fact by taking away a veil. Why'd you leave off that part of it, Mark? Parts that talk about the veil. Is there any reason why you left that off? See, I think where you read it all the way up to there and you stopped right there. Is there any reason why you left that part off? Of the fact by taking away a veil. Now, I need my chart for Isaiah 47:2, and I don't have the number down here, and that's 32, Mark. Number 32. Well, I've already showed you that. Go ahead. Number 32. This is my chart on Isaiah 47:2. Raise it up. I want you to notice the following translations of this verse. In the King James, it says, uncover thy locks. Now, Baxter's literal translation of the Septuagint of this verse says, remove thy veil. The American Standard Version says, remove thy veil. What do you think it's talking about? You know, Mark used this to try to prove this is talking about the hair, Isaiah 47:2. But, you know, it says, uncover thy locks. Is that talking about cutting the hair? How do you uncover your hair? Locks is talking about hair here in the English. How would you uncover your locks? What would you do? You'd take off a veil, wouldn't you? You'd take off an artificial covering. This, he said, well, it says, uncover thy locks. So it must be talking about the hair. Well, it is, but it's talking about taking an artificial covering off of the hair. That's what it's talking about. So obviously this doesn't prove his thing. This doesn't say anything about removing the hair or cutting the hair. It talks about removing artificial covering to uncover the hair. So this is saying the same thing as Baxter's and American Standard. When it says remove thy veil, remove thy veil, they're both talking about taking an artificial covering off the head or the hair. 11 minutes. I want to get divine if I can. I may have to say that from next speech, but let's talk about the word power. Somewhere he came up with the word power. I don't know if it was from a commentary or a definition, but he said it meant the abundance of the hair. Well, I want you to write that down for me. Give me a piece of paper, Mark, so we can check up on that. And we asked him for something last night to check up on, and he told me Strong's. We looked it up, and he was right about it. So when we asked him, we're not necessarily saying he just made something up, but he went so fast, I couldn't look it up for myself, and I know you would want me to look it up for myself. But he said the word power meant abundance of hair in 1 Corinthians 11:10. I'd like you to turn over to 1 Corinthians 9:4. This word power, in the same Greek word, is used many times in the New Testament. I don't know of a single place it refers to the abundance of the hair. Mark says he has a definition, either a definition or a commentary. But we looked it up real quick in Mr. Thayer's dictionary, and he said it meant power of choice, liberty of doing as one pleases, leave, or permission. Now you'll see that fits these cases I go to in 1 Corinthians 9, but abundance of hair does not. Same Greek word is used in verse 4, 5, 6, twice in verse 12, and once in verse 18 in 1 Corinthians 9. I just went here because it's close to 1 Corinthians 11. It's used a number of times in the New Testament, all meaning about the same thing. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 4, Paul said, have we not the abundance of hair to eat and to drink? Is that what it means? Does it mean abundance of hair? Do you think that means that? Have we not power to eat and drink? I believe that all of y'all have always preached that meant that we have not the right or the authority to do that. Y'all preached that, hadn't you? We preached that. Now, why would Mark change it just for this debate? I wonder. Then in verse 5, he says, have we not power to lead about a sister? I wonder if he's saying, have we not the abundance of hair to lead about a sister or wife? In other words, you've got to have a lot of hair so that you can lead about a sister as a wife. Is that what it means? He said, this word means abundance of hair. It's the same Greek word. Verse 6, or I only and Barnabas, have we not the abundance of hair to forbear working? Is that what the word means? In verse 12, if others be partakers of this abundance of hair over you, are not we rather? Nevertheless, we have used this abundance of hair. Verse 18, what is my reward then? Verily that when I preach the gospel, I'm going to make the gospel of Christ without charge, that I abuse not my abundance of hair in the gospel. Mark, I hope your brethren understand what you're trying to do, buddy. Now, I want to get back to some of my affirmative charts to get that in so that you'll have time to reply to it. Brent number one. Many of you who were here last night would have seen some of these charts. Oh, that's right. Don't have a lot of time. But I want you to know that the covering of 1 Corinthians 11, verse 5, the woman should be covered while she prays or prophesies. I want you to notice what I said last night is this is done for an occasion, and that shows that the long hair will not fit in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 5. For example, I brought up Esther chapter 6, verse 12, where Haman covered his head. How do we know it's an artificial covering, not the hair? Because he did it for an occasion. Brent number four, I showed that the time regulation is different. The time regulation is different. I talked about my little girl, Leah. And I said, she can play out front all the time. She can play in the pasture when mommy and daddy are with her. And that time regulation being different showed that the two places were different, and Mark agreed to it in the question. Now, why won't the time regulation difference in 1 Corinthians 11 prove two different coverings? It's the same reasoning. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 5, the time regulation is when she's praying or prophesying. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 15, is all the time. It's perfectly parallel to Leah. We can understand the difference there. Why not in the other? Number 6, this doesn't make any sense. This shows that it does not make any sense to stick the long hair into verse 5 of 1 Corinthians 11. She is to have this covering, the Bible says, while she prays or prophesies. Ethel, be sure and wear a red dress while at the Alabama football game tomorrow. Makes sense, doesn't it? Ethel, be sure and be skinny while at the Alabama football game tomorrow. Does that make any sense? No, it doesn't. Bobby, be sure and be good while at Granddaddy's house on Saturday. That makes sense. Bobby, be sure and be physically tall while at Granddaddy's house on Saturday. Does anybody here besides Mark think that makes sense? He put yes on this when he answered the question because he knew he had to. It proved my proposition. Does anybody think that sentence makes sense? It doesn't, does it? That's perfectly parallel to 1 Corinthians 11, verse 5, though, the way he would have it. Karen, be sure and be covered with a hood while outside riding your bike today. Makes sense. Karen, be sure and have long hair while outside riding your bike today. Doesn't make any sense. Lucy, be sure and be covered with a veil while praying. Makes sense, doesn't it? Lucy, be sure and have long hair while praying. Doesn't make any sense. Raise that up, Brent. It doesn't make any sense to command a person to be skinny while at the Alabama football game, be tall while at Granddaddy's house, have long hair while riding your bike, have long hair while praying. Now, Brent, I added a little bit to this chart today, and we'll show you what I added. These same sentences, this sentence is parallel to 1 Corinthians 11, verse 5, if you put the veil in there, the artificial covering. You wear a red dress while at the Alabama football game. You wear a veil when you're praying or prophesying. You do it then, and you don't have to do it at other times unless somebody else tells you you have to do it at other times. Ethel, be sure and be skinny while at the Alabama football game. That's parallel to 1 Corinthians 11, 5. You try to stick the long hair in there. You see why? Because being skinny is a permanent relative to the time period you would be at the Alabama football game. It's permanent relative to that time period. Bobby, be sure and be good while at Granddaddy's house on Saturday. This is parallel to Mark 11, 24, and 25. In other words, be good on Saturday. But also, you know, other passages teach that you're to be good at other times. But the fact that they said do it on Saturday shows it's something you can turn on and you can turn off. And that's true. All of those things are true about Mark 11, 24, and 25. He brought that up the last night. That makes sense, and that's why Mark 11, 24, and 25 makes sense. Because you can turn off good and bad. And you can be good just for Saturday and be bad some other time. It is possible. Other considerations would tell you to be good at other times. Bobby, be sure and be physically tall while at Granddaddy's house on Saturday. That's parallel to 1 Corinthians 11:5 if you try to stick the long hair in there. Karen, be sure and be covered with a hood while outside riding your bike today. That's parallel to 1 Corinthians 11, verse 5, with a veil. Karen, be sure and have long hair while outside riding your bike today. That's parallel to 1 Corinthians 11, verse 5, with the long hair stuck in there. Doesn't make any sense, does it? Lucy, be sure and be covered with a veil while praying. That's basically a paraphrase of 1 Corinthians 11, verse 5, if you believe the veil's there. This is basically a paraphrase of 1 Corinthians 11, verse 5, if you believe the long hair's in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 5. Lucy, be sure and have long hair while praying. Doesn't make any sense, does it? See, the ones I've checked over here just don't make any sense. They're all parallel, and they're all parallel to Mark's view of 1 Corinthians 11, verse 5. This isn't just circumstantial evidence. This proves the long hair is not the covering of 1 Corinthians 11, 5. It is a covering, all right enough, 1 Corinthians 11, 15, but it's not the only covering, as your proposition says, because 1 Corinthians 11, verse 5 shows that there's another covering. As I mentioned last night, it's a different Greek word. Now, let's talk about Mr. Vine. Brent, see if you can put up 42, then 43, then 44, real quick. The way I'm going to answer what he said about Mr. Vine, he only spent 30 seconds on this, it'll be hard to answer. But first of all, he quoted a couple of things from Vine, and he said that Vine is saying that the long hair is the covering of 1 Corinthians 11, verse 10. Therefore, this proves that the long hair is the covering. And here's how I'm going to answer that. First of all, the quotes that he gives, Mr. Vine is not saying that the long hair is the covering of 1 Corinthians 11, 10. We look at the quotes, we'll see that he's not saying that. Mark's just wrong about that. But then, even if Mr. Vine were saying that the long hair was the covering, wouldn't prove a thing. I can come up with hundreds of commentaries that say the veil is the covering, the artificial veil is the covering. It doesn't prove a thing. Only the Bible proves something. So even if Mr. Vine was saying this, which he's not, it wouldn't prove a thing. Next chart. Now, the first quote, let's see, is that 43? The first quote that Mark gave on this was, the long hair of the spirit beings described as locusts in Revelation 9a is perhaps indicative of their subjection to their satanic master. Compare 1 Corinthians 11:10. He says, this proves the long hair is the covering in 1 Corinthians 11. Can you imagine? How can anybody look at that and think that proves the long hair is the covering in 1 Corinthians 11? All Mr. Vine is doing is he's speculating, notice he used the word perhaps, that 1 Corinthians 11:10 and this verse in Revelation 9:8 both involve subjection. He's not saying that hairs in 1 Corinthians 11, 10. He didn't say that. He's just saying that both involve subjection. Now, he's saying that he's just speculating. He really doesn't know that. He's speculating. He's not saying that both involve the hair. That's just what Mark said he said. You read that. Does it say that? Does the verse, most importantly, does the verse say it? But look at that. Revelation 9, verse 8. That seems to me to be ridiculous. And then this quote. The word is found, raise it up, Brent, in 1 Corinthians 11, 15. This is another quote from Mr. Vine, where the context shows that the covering provided in the long hair of the woman is as a veil, a sign of subjection to authority is indicated in the headship spoken of in verses 1 through 10. So Mr. Vine said here, it's as a veil. Did you notice that? Mark read that, as a veil. You know what as means? In this quote, Mr. Vine is indicating that the long hair, 1 Corinthians 11, 15, is not the same as the veil, verses 1 through 10, because he says the long hair is as a veil. He didn't say it was that veil, but as a veil. When we say that something is as or like something else, we're saying that two distinct things are similar. For example, the eagle is as the tiger, a mascot of Auburn football. Does this mean that the eagle and the tiger are the same animal? No, it actually proves they're two different things. Now, according to Galatians 4:14, Paul was received as Christ Jesus. Does that mean Paul and Christ are the same? Or does that mean he was received like Christ? Which one? 1 Peter 5:8, the devil as a roaring lion walketh about. Does that mean the devil is a lion or the devil walks about like a lion? See? He just said it was as a veil. He didn't say it was a veil. As a veil means two different things. As a matter of fact, we know what Vines believed about this and what he taught. We just look right in his commentary. The veiled condition of the woman, therefore, sets forth the authority of Christ. She has a twofold covering, the temporary one, the veil, put on for the immediate purpose, and another, the permanent one, mentioned in verse 15. What if he were teaching? He's not, but what if he were? What would it prove? Did you know Vines also teaches in Acts 22:16 that baptism is not for the remission of sins? In his dictionary, does that prove that baptism is not for the remission of sins? Do you agree with Vines here, Mark? No, he doesn't. In his definition of psalm, he teaches that psalm means sing with accompaniment of a musical instrument. What does that prove? Nothing. But if what he said somewhere else proves something about the veil, then what are these things? Are these things true just because Vines said them, that you don't have to be baptized for the remission of sins, or that when we sing, we ought to have an instrument of music? What about there? He says some things that Mark disagrees with. I don't have time to go through those. I asked Mark, what if I produced a Greek lexicon that in the definition, the Greek word translated covered in 1 Corinthians 11 6, clearly indicated the garment was involved in such a covering. What would that prove? Mark answered, it would prove that this particular author believed the covering involved the garment. That's all it would prove. Believe.
You, brethren moderators, brethren and sisters in Jesus Christ, I consider it as an extreme pleasure to come before you at this time for this last speech, or at least my last speech, of this discussion. I've enjoyed this discussion with Brother Donahue just as I enjoyed the written discussion. And I can see from the things that Brother Donahue has already said that he evidently was not pleased with the written discussion because he is trying to debate it instead of the things that we're talking about tonight. We need to understand tonight that Brother Donahue is having some terrific problems. He is wanting to challenge some things that W.E. Vine has to say. And I want you to understand that some of these things, especially the last thing, one of the last things that I had to say about Vines, he needs to study Vines a whole lot more carefully. For an example, in one of the last things he was talking about is the idea of what Vines has to say about baptism. Brother Donahue, I think you need to understand what Vines has to say about baptism. You need to understand who you can and who you cannot baptize. Because as you stated, as I have already mentioned in my speech last night, Brother Donahue has such a view about this artificial veil or this artificial covering that he cannot find in the Scriptures, that he says if a person says they will not wear this veil or if will not wear this artificial covering, he says that he will not baptize that person. And that is in a written question or an answer to a written question in this written debate. So therefore, if you do not have a copy of this debate, it's yours for the taking. Read it carefully and find out what type of a situation it puts a person in when they want to argue something and contend for something that the Bible does not teach. He reached a point that he had to say that he would have to treat someone that who would not wear an artificial covering in the same way that he would treat a person who is a homosexual or a person who would even cut their hair or a person who is an adulterer. I think this is a very serious matter. It's not something that you want to just play around with. Yes, Pat, you need to find out exactly what Vines has to say about baptism, because I think you'll certainly find out that you baptize for the remission of sins and not refuse baptism just simply because a person does not go along with a hobby that you might personally have. Now, there's a number of things that that Brother Donahue has mentioned in his speech tonight. And I'm certain that you follow along with a number of them, but I want to ask you the question. Did he respond to my arguments that I presented? Did he call up these charts and bring them up and refer to them and to show why they were wrong? Absolutely not. He didn't bring up, I don't guess, unless I was looking down writing, he didn't bring up one, did you, Pat? Why didn't you answer the arguments that I gave you? I don't really blame you, because the reason is they cannot be answered. And Brother Donahue was not able to answer them in the written discussion. Therefore, he comes back, he tries to do it in his public discussion. Well, he's fallen short on that one too. So, Brother Donahue, if we ever have another discussion as you want to, maybe you'll have a third chance because you haven't done in your first two. Well, we want to go a little bit further. Tonight, Pat and I exchanged some questions, and I think it's very interesting that we need to understand what he would have to say. Tonight, I asked the question to Pat, do the Scriptures teach that long hair is a covering for Christian women today? If yes, please give the verse or verses that prove such. Pat said yes, 1 Corinthians 11, verse 15. The question was easy. He gave an easy answer. How does he come up with such an easy answer? The reason is because it's plainly found in the Scriptures. Do the Scriptures teach that long hair is a covering? Yes, 1 Corinthians 11, verse 15. What's the point with that? Last night I asked him the question, number one, does Paul specifically state in 1 Corinthians 11 that he has reference to an artificial covering when he uses the word covered, uncovered, not covered, and covered in verses 5, 6, 13, and 15? His answer was no. Now notice what we were doing. Chart number 7, please. Now, as I have already explained over and over and over again, and the reason I keep explaining this, because I've heard people ask, why keep throwing up chart number 7? The reason is because this is what this discussion is all about. My proposition, Bring it down, please. My proposition says that hair is given for a covering. I know that hair is given for a covering. Pat knows hair is given for a covering. He knows it because he can say yes, because 1 Corinthians 11 verse 15 states it. I asked him about this idea of an artificial covering. I asked him to give a Bible verse for it. Now, you know, you notice how Pat eased by that. He said, well, Mark gets up here and wants to know of a translation. I didn't ask Pat for a translation. You can find all type of versions of the scriptures that really doesn't mean anything. I did not ask for a translation. Pat, I wanted to know your verse. We're dealing with a King James Version, Pat. I don't blame you for asking because you cannot find it there. I did not ask for a translation. I want to know your verse, Pat, to find out exactly what if the word artificial covering is there or not. But you know, even though that you went to your translations, and I'm sure you searched high and low for one, didn't you, that even a translation that I didn't ask for, did you look for high and low for one to see if it said the word artificial? You couldn't even find that, could you, Pat? Why? Because it's not there. But yet, why do I keep calling for something artificial? Well, the reason is because Pat's position that he is affirming last night, and of course he couldn't answer my arguments tonight, so what did he do? He gets up here and he talks about his speech last night, his position last night. Why do I keep calling for this word artificial covering? Because his proposition, his position calls for it. Pat, next time you want to, next time you have a discussion upon 1 Corinthians 11, you might want to change the wording a little bit, and I'm sure you would make sure you don't have that word artificial there. But again, I asked you for a Greek lexicon, Pat. Did you present one? You know good and well you have not been able to find that. Again, let's go on to number two, my second question to Pat. Now, I've already asked him about the long hair being a covering. He says, yes, it's a covering, 1 Corinthians 11, 15. Number two, please list every verse in 1 Corinthians 11, 4 through 16 that states or refers to hair in any way. Now, Pat becomes so disturbed tonight, as so does some of his people that believes the way he does, and they say, why is he keep asking for artificial? You know, you don't have to ask that question, and you don't have to become concerned with it if it's in the Bible. He becomes concerned with it because it's not found in the Scriptures, but yet that's his position. And my second question, please list every verse in 1 Corinthians 11, 4 through 16 that states or refers to hair in any way. You know what he says? I asked him for our artificial. Oh, there is none. Well, how about the hair? Where's the verses that states hair in any way? He says verses 5, 6, 14, and 15. Open your scriptures for just a moment. Now keep in mind, you're looking in the same scriptures that you looked in when I called for Pat last night, that if he were to please tell us where these verses are that has the word artificial as his covering, as his proposition calls for it. He said, oh, I don't have one. But yet, as far as your proposition, I do, because verse 5 would say, but every woman that prayeth or prophesieth with her head uncovered dishonoreth her head, for that is even all one as if she were shaven. Yes, Pat, that does speak of hair, doesn't it? Because it refers to it as being shorn or shaven, and the word shaven, of course, we know, refers to hair. Pat, is your word artificial there? Well, certainly not. Well, then he says, well, verse 6 also talks about hair. For if the woman be not covered, let her also be shorn, and shorn is hair. But if it be a shame for a woman to be shorn or shaven, let her be covered. And he would say, shorn or shaven is hair. Well, Pat, I've got news for you. The word covered also refers to hair, because you can read that in the context. But yet, as I know what you're going on, and that's the word shorn or shaven. Pat, is your artificial there? I know hair is there. That's what you say. Is artificial? Well, of course not. Well, he says that verse 14 also talks about it. Verse 14 talks about hair. Doth not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him? Oh, how can anyone deny that? Pat, is your artificial covering there? He also says verse 15 is there. But if a woman have long hair, it is a glory to her, for her hair is given for a covering. Certainly he would say that that's referring to hair. How can he deny it? Pat, is your artificial covering there? You know, you go on and on and on. You want to talk about this artificial covering. And you might be wondering, well, Mark, getting back now to the things last night. Pat, I'm trying to follow you right now. You won't follow me, so I'm asking these things concerning you. Pat, where's your word artificial? Your position calls for an artificial covering. There is absolutely nothing that Pat would love any more than someone to come up and find a Bible passage anywhere in God's Word that slipped in somewhere and had the word artificial that he hasn't seen. He would love it then. He wouldn't be so disturbed if I were to ask him to please produce a Bible verse that says the word artificial. He's disturbed because he knows the Bible does not say it. Again, we find that in my next question, I asked Pat, does the specific time while praying or prophesying in the two sentences below mean that the person does not have to do the things named at any other time? You know, he talked about praying or prophesying both last night as well as tonight, and indicating the idea that, well, Paul mentions praying or prophesying, so therefore this is a limited time that she used to have these things. The two questions I asked. Number one, here's the question. Think about them carefully. I wish I'd have had them on a chart. But it said, number one, woman must be covered while praying or prophesying. He says no to that answer. He says, no, that does not mean that the person does not have to do the thing any other time. Number two, the second question, woman must act like a Christian while praying or prophesying. Well, there he says other verses tells her to act like a Christian at other times. Both shows that the activity covered, act like a Christian is possible to turn on and turn off at a specific time. Pat, do we have the right to turn on and turn off Christianity? Do we have the right? Now, you've already stood up here, or we've already shown the people where you would object to the idea of baptizing a person, and now he talks about Christianity being something that you turn on and turn off. No, Pat, you do not have a right to do that. You cannot turn on and turn off baptism. Again, of course, a problem that you had with that, it's the problem, Pat, that you remember last night when you were talking about prayer or prophesying? Pat, do you remember when you were talking about it last night that you said, I'm not saying that praying or prophesying is restricted only to that time. You remember saying something like that, Pat? Now, in this question, you wanted to go back and say, well, that's not really what I'm talking about, because now you wanted to pinpoint it to the time of praying or prophesying. Number four, I said, please explain the difference between the meaning of the Greek word katakaluto, now that's the word covered in verse 6, and parabolaion, that's the covering in verse 15. Then I said, please give your proof. Well, Pat puts down here, katakalupto, general word meaning covering. No proof. This is the same thing he does over and over and over again. He talks about his position and how strong it is, but he does not give proof, even though I call for the proof. He won't give it if his life depends upon it. He says, parabolaion. Now, I've asked him for the difference between the two. He doesn't give me the difference between the two. What he does is just simply give his definition of it. He says, parabolaion, more specific, a cloak would be a synonym. Pat, I'm asking you again, where's your proof? Why didn't you give the proof? Isn't that the question? Wasn't it your responsibility to answer my questions, Pat? Why didn't you answer it? I don't really blame you. Of course, I want to ask you, Pat, is a cloak artificial? Is cloak artificial? I'm really wanting to know. And the reason I'm wanting to know is because I also asked you in the written discussion for an example, and I believe we talked about it last night. I mentioned Paul's words where he says, her hair is given for a covering. And I asked, does that mean that hair is given for an artificial covering? And you said, no. Do you still believe that? But yet you referred to parabolaion as being, that parabolaion there, the covering there, as being a cloak. Now, are you contradicting yourself? Are you changing that pattern and say that that parabolaion is artificial? If it is, your hair is given for it. Verse 5. Please name all the New Testament verses, excluding 1 Corinthians 11, that speaks of woman having any type of covering on her head besides hair. What do you believe his answer was? Now, keep in mind, last night, you might be wondering, first of all, why did he say excluding 1 Corinthians 11? Well, last night, I asked him, does Paul specifically state in 1 Corinthians 11 about this idea of artificial? And he said no. So last night I already had his answer concerning this idea of 1 Corinthians 11, and no, it doesn't refer to an artificial. So therefore, I asked him this time, please name all the New Testament verses excluding 1 Corinthians that speaks of woman having any type of covering other, any type of covering besides hair. And he says, zero. About as big as this one right here. He says that in 1 Corinthians 11 that you do not find the word artificial. And furthermore, he says all through the pages of the New Testament that you do not find any other covering besides hair. Pat, you just proved my proposition. You remember you got up here and you made this grand play, said Bailey's position says that it must be the only covering. You remember that? How do I prove that it's the only, that hair is the only covering? Because I go to Pat Donahue. I go to 1 Corinthians 11, 15 and answer to question number 2. I go to verse 5. I go to verse 6. I go to verse 14. I go to verse 15. All of these places, Pat says, refers to hair, but yet as far as the artificial covering or any kind of covering besides long hair, Pat says, there is none. Now, he puts a note out beside his answer and says, same as number of verses speaking of hair as a covering. Pat? 1 Corinthians 11, 15. Or do the scripture teach that long hair is a covering? You said 1 Corinthians 11, 15. See your problem, Pat? Again, he says, there is nowhere in the New Testament that anything, any other kind of covering is even found besides hair. Pat, I have to agree with you on that position, just like I did last night, that you didn't do a good job last night, and you certainly are not tonight. But I have to compliment you on your honesty, because you're honestly telling this audience that the scriptures, from Matthew to Revelation, that it does not talk about any kind of covering besides hair. Well, let's go a little bit further now. Let's see chart 53, Pat's chart number 53. I think I've already referred to this just a moment ago. Pat made reference here to Kenneth Woo's expanded translation. He was saying that I asked for a translation to show the word artificial, and this is what I was mentioning before. And he mentions about the word shawl here, but Pat, I'll tell you again, I didn't ask for a translation. That is your mistake that you need to correct. I asked you for the verse that would say it. I asked you for a Greek lexicon. You haven't given that yet, and I really don't blame you. You said, you can take that down. Pat also says, said Bailey got up here, and he was saying that man is not the issue. Pat, be honest with these people, and I think you've been pretty honest so far. Be honest with these people. Pat, does our proposition deal with man? Does our proposition say one word about man? Now, you say up here, you say that Bailey says that man is not the issue, and you said, I would say the same thing too. Pat, does it say anything about man? Now, if it does, then you show me where it is. I guess it's right after the word artificial in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Again, we find that he speaks about my chart. Let's see chart number 2, dealing with the shame. You know, Pat has a somewhat of a problem here because he has a tough time referring to it. You know, I asked him, and first of all, in his speech, did you see my chart? Oh, no. He wouldn't dare call it up, would he? He said, just because you see the word shame doesn't mean that it's the same covering. He said being uncovered is uncovered is being different from shorn. But as far as the word shame, he said just because that shame is there, that it doesn't mean it's the same thing that is mentioned in the context or in the same verse. Pat, notice the verse. Paul says, every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonor it. He shames his head. He turns around. He doesn't leave it up to our imagination, Pat. He turns around and says, look, I'll show you what the shame is. If a man have long hair, it's a shame unto him. Pat, do you believe that if a man has long hair, it's a shame unto him? He says it is. And Pat, notice in verse 4, he says a man does something, he has this shame. What is it? Long hair, Pat. In 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 15, he says, but every woman that prayeth or prophesieth with her head uncovered dishonoreth her head. For that is even all one as if she was shaven. Pat, what is the covering that brings forth this shame? You can say all you want to, that just because it says shame, and you find shame in the same context, that it does not refer to the same. But notice, Pat, Paul would say in verse 6, in verse 5, he says, something brings forth shame. What is it, Paul? Is it what Brother Donahue would say? No, Paul would say, if it be a shame for a woman to be shorn or shaven. Pat, I asked you that question a little while ago. You remember I asked you to please name these verses that would say, refer to hair in any way. You named 1 Corinthians 11 verse 6. How do you know that that's talking about hair, Pat? Is it because the word shorn or shaven? Absolutely. And he says that if it be a shame for a woman, referring to hair, Pat, shorn or shaven, if a woman is shorn or shaven, it's a shame for her. And that's what Paul is talking about up here. And then he concludes it all in 1 Corinthians 11 verse 15, if a woman have long hair, it is a glory to her. There's your opposite, Pat. It's a glory to her. And that is exactly what I contend for, and certainly it's what you need to be. It would be great if you could be standing up. It would be great if you could stand up here, Pat, and start affirming what the Scriptures teach. And then you won't have to worry about why is he saying this artificial. I say artificial because that's in Pat's proposition last night. That's his position. That's what he wants you to believe. But he's already said, from Matthew to Revelation, it's not found in the New Testament. Let's see his chart number 39. I believe that's one. Is that the Pat dealing with Alfred's statement? Brother Donahue wants you to think that Alfred is saying something that he is not. Brother Donahue, understand what Alfred is saying. I want you to understand it from your own chart. You know, you didn't get up here and read all of it, but notice here, he says, I want you to read it now. I'm glad you're looking at your chart more than you did mine. The mere fact that one set being by nature unveiled, that is, having short hair. That's my view, Pat. I believe that short hair is being unveiled. Or as the King James Version would say, uncovered. Do you believe that? That's what he is saying. The mere fact of one set being by nature unveiled, that is, having short hair. Notice, the other veiled, that is, having long hair. Pat, that's what he believes. Do you believe that? That's exactly what he is saying. And then he goes on. Well, let's see if we can find some other charts. He's chart number 38. He says, I believe it's in chart number 38, he was asking, why didn't he say hair? You know, he made reference to the idea of Paul's writings. He was dealing with 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 6 and say, why didn't he just say it? I'll tell you why, Pat. Because he got to 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 15 and says, her hair is given for a covering. He explains it. Pat, can you show us the verse that says that she has an artificial covering? You want to know, why didn't Paul just say hair? He did, Pat. Go to 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 15, and it says her hair is given for a covering. What else do you want, Pat? It's very plain. It's very simple. There's a few things I want to share with you today. Brethren and sisters, I want you to open your Bibles with me for just a moment. I think there's some very important things that we need to understand. Let's go to chart number 13, please. You know, there's a serious problem today among the churches of Christ, and among a lot of others, I suppose, but yet we're basically dealing with the churches of Christ. And that is concerning the condition of a woman's hair. I contend tonight, as I have already proven to you, and as Pat absolutely could not deny, that the long hair is a covering. And I want you to understand, remember, I try my best in Donahue's speech last night to please define what he was talking about dealing with artificial.
And I wanted him to explain what he mean by this artificial covering. Well, he wouldn't do that. But I told you tonight that the long hair is a covering. So I want to show you exactly what long hair is. First of all, don't become confused when you find Bible passages of Scripture that might refer to it as a veil. The King James Version, for an example, in Songs of Solomon, the King James Version would say, "Thou hast dove's eyes within thy locks." We would say today, "Thou hast dove's eyes within thy hair." The American Standard Version would say, "Thine eyes are like doves behind thy veil." So therefore, we see that these two translations, they use the word locks or hair and veil interchangeable. Therefore, when you read in something such as a different translation, and you read where it says, uses the word veil, understand that he's also talking about locks, at least the lexicon or the Greek translators would show they are. Songs of Solomon 4 and verse 3, the King James Version says, "Thy temple are like a piece of pomegranate within thy locks," that is, thy hair. "Thy temple are like a piece of pomegranate behind thy veil." Now, Pat might want you to understand that that is artificial, but understand, it's not. The footnote says, veil or locks. In other words, he is showing that it refers to hair. Chapter 6 and verse 7, we find the same thing. The conclusion is that hair and veil are used interchangeably by the translators. Let's see chart number 14, please. I want to show you the biblical reasons for long hair. It has nothing to do with custom. Understand that long hair is coming from this Greek word kameo, and that kameo means to let the hair grow. If you're letting your hair grow, you're not shortening it. You're not cutting it. You're not reducing the length at all. Biblical reasons for long hair. Is it because of custom? Absolutely not. We find, number one, that cut hair, any length, is the same as being shorn or shaven, which is a sin, verse 6. Secondly, long hair is a sign of subjection. We learn that in verse 10. Verse 15 says, long hair is a glory to a woman. Dear Christian women today, let your hair grow. Don't cut your hair. Your hair is given for glory. Your hair is given as a covering. Again, long hair, this ornamental hair, as Thayer would refer to it, is given for a parabolaion. As Thayer was, as Brother Donahue would say, that this refers to a cloak. Read it that way if you want. It's still long hair. It's given for a cloak. Given for Brother Donahue's, I guess, his artificial covering. That's about as close as he's going to find. Again, let's go to chart number 15. How long is long hair? How long is it? Go to Ezekiel 44, verse 20. Neither shall they shave their heads, nor suffer their locks to grow long. They shall only poll their heads. Here in this one verse, we find three lengths of hair. And this is a very important passage because we can understand here that this passage refers to the people being shaved, the person being polled, and the person having long or grown long hair. Now, what does this word polled mean? I think we know what shave is. I think we know what it means to grow long. But what does polled mean? It is defined as to trim, to clip. So therefore, we have three lengths of hair in this one passage. One refers to it being shaved. Another refers to it being polled, that is trimmed or clipped. Another is grown hair that is grown or long hair. So therefore, the conclusion, long hair is not trimmed hair. Long hair is not clipped hair. Long hair is not shaved hair. Long hair is hair left as nature would have it, and that is in an uncut state. Again, let's go to chart number 16, please. We find here on this chart that I call glory, glory, glory. Understand what the Apostle Paul is saying, if you will. We find in verse 7 that he talks about glory twice. In verse 15, he talks about glory. In verse 7, he says that God's glory is man. In verse 7 also, he says man's glory is woman. In chart 15, in verse 15, he says, woman's glory is long hair. Why is it so important for you to keep your long hair, your hair very long or uncut, Christian ladies? Simply because Paul says her hair is given, referring to long hair, her hair is given for a glory, for a covering. And here we find that woman's glory is long hair. You know, if you as Christian women have the right to cut your hair, that is, to do away with your glory, think about it. If you have that right, the man has a right to do away with his glory. Watch it now. What man's glory is woman. If woman can do away with her glory, which is long hair, man can do away with his glory, which is woman. God can do away with his glory, which is man. And certainly we would be in a sad condition if that was the case. Brethren and sisters today, and especially you, that the sisters that are here, I appreciate you listening to this, to these speeches. I know that some of these things might seem somewhat confusing, especially when Brother Donahue gets up here and tells you that he's talking about artificial, and it cannot be found in the New Testament, as he would clearly and categorically state. Brethren and sisters, let us understand. Let us stay just as close to God's Word as we possibly can, and by all means, let your hair grow. Let it grow just as long as nature would have it. For Paul says, your hair is given for a covering. And I thank you.